Whether you're in the middle of a struggle or at the tail end of a struggle or just beginning a struggle in your life, there's a passage that I want to share with you. It was highlighted in one of the songs that Lisa picked out for the praise team today. This psalm was written by King David, and he was actually preparing to go to battle. And he wrote these words, and I share with them with you that they might strengthen you. From Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. Probably people here that way, they kind of trust what they see. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some believe in what they can see and touch. Actually, an awful lot of us fall into that some category. It's easier putting our trust sometimes in the things we can see and touch. Some trust knowledge. Some trust experience. Some trust money in the bank. Some trust the illusion of power or authority we may have. I'm totally being transparent this morning. I transparently say to you, I confess, I'm sometimes. I sometimes struggle with the same that I sometimes have to see. And I trust God, but there are times whenever I struggle with areas of my life. And what encourages me about this passage with David is that his faith is mentioned that we trust in the Lord our God. But what encouraged me is David isn't just his faith, it's about dealing with his doubt. This is the same guy that said, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we trust in the Lord. And the exact same guy who questioned God in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day and day? I have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Here's David, I believe. Here's David, how long, O Lord? And the point I want to look at is, if David can have moments where he is unsure, can't we? I know we feel guilty when we have those moments, but I'm just trying to share with you that God knew the heart of David. David had the heart of God, and David struggled at times. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, how we grow from, I'm not really sure I can trust God, to the point with all my heart I know and I trust. So how do we get there? Today I'm going to talk, and I'm asked about, how do you grow in trust with a God you can't see? We're really into a seeing is believing kind of generation. I think every Christian has had a moment of questioning as to whether they can trust God. Perhaps you've prayed a prayer. We've been talking about prayer quite a bit lately, and sometimes maybe that prayer didn't seem like it's answered. Or perhaps you've been really challenging some things in your life, and it seems to you were going solo through these struggles when you really could have had somebody helping you, and you struggled with that. Or maybe it seems like that you've had a health emergency, and perhaps eternity is staring you in the face long before you'd planned on it. As our walk with the Lord continues, we grow in faith as we grow in the Word. But do you grow to the point you can trust God that you can't see? Let me begin by suggesting the first thing you do is you question. You question. God is not afraid of you questioning Him. God is not afraid of you asking questions. He can stand up to your questions. He's not afraid for you to ask questions about issues in your heart, issues from Scripture. David was called a man after God's own heart. He questioned God. Again, if David can do it, we can too. Someone said, we're closer to God when we're asking questions than when we think we hold all the answers. I believe it's true. When we're coming before God and we're asking those questions, it's exactly what a hurting dad did in Mark 9. We just touched on this story from God's Word last week. We're going to mention it again here, that you don't know the story. Dad had a son battling an evil spirit. So the spirit was causing his son to convulse, and he would throw himself on a fire. He'd throw himself in the water, and you know it was just terrible for the father. The son was in danger, and the dad told Jesus about this evil spirit and said, and it's trying to kill him. And carefully notice a question that the stat asks. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Do you hear that wording? I'm going to read that again. I want to make sure you catch that wording. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. See, God would rather us run to him with questions than run from him with doubts. This father was hurting and he had some questions. He wasn't sure about God. If you can do anything. That's the second thing you do. First thing is you question. Second, you pray. Look at our text. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. Look at how Jesus answered the man. I'm going to put my own inflection in for Jesus because we don't have a lot of that in Scripture. We just have the words there. But let me give you the inflection that I would have of Jesus answering. If I can do anything, maybe that's a little over the top, but I mean, Jesus has been raising the dead. He's been healing the sick. He's feeding the 5,000. Jesus is doing all these miracles. And this father says, well, if you can do anything. And Jesus says, you know, if I could do anything, you know, everything is possible, he says, for the one who believes. You know, Jesus has got to be saying, can I? Man, where you been? You been living under a log? You haven't seen what I've been doing in my life? You haven't seen the things that God has done through me? You haven't seen the people that's been healed and people that have been saved? You haven't seen any of that? The boy's father replied to Jesus. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Watch his son struggle all of his life. He's struggling with his faith. Son was healed. You got to believe this guy's faith soared. After all these years and the dangerous son's been, when his son was finally healed, his faith had to have soared whenever that happened. What do you do when you find yourself in a difficult trust situation with God you can't see? You ask questions, you pray, you surrender. Now, we hear the word surrender and it sounds like giving up, and they aren't the same thing. In this particular case, it means when we surrender to God, we're saying, replace my will for your will. When we say we surrender, we're saying we surrender our desire and replace it with your desire. We replace it with what I want and replace it with what you want. That's what we're surrendering. We're not surrendering, our choice of, you know, red or green popsicles. You know, we're not surrendering our choice of what kind of car you want to drive. There's none of that. It's about who we are and what we're willing to surrender to God. We're surrendering that. And it's not easy, and honestly, it doesn't come natural to most people. We like our own way. I don't know about you, but we all like our own way. Husbands, wives, do you all like your own way? Does your spouse like their way too? Sometimes. We think we're right. Don't you think you're right most of the time? Yeah, I tell Linda, I say, I'm Roger Wright. I'm right. And she tells me, you're the wrong right. Here's another way to look at it. Trust God even when we don't understand. Man, oh man, oh man. If I had a nickel for every time I didn't understand what God was doing, I'd be a wealthy man. Because God doesn't need our approval. He doesn't need to clue us in. Sometimes God has a plan, and we are totally oblivious to it. We have no idea what that plan is. We have no idea. We can choose to trust God even when we don't understand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's when we trust in ourselves. And in all your ways submit to him, not our will, but his will. And we will make your path straight. This middle part just grabs my attention. Lean not on your own understanding. Because we all think we know everything. We all think we have great ideas. You know, we have a problem, a struggle we're coming up with. We have this all figured out. You know, we just need to write down an outline so we can give it to God to say, here's what you need to do. And we think, well, that's about where we're at. A lot of times we have this way we want things done, and we think we have a great idea, but we really don't. Let me just have a little fun moment. Let me share a couple ideas that people had that are really dumb, but they really thought they were great ideas. For example, cat wigs. This is the real thing. Cat wigs. They're $9.95 or whatever it is, $17.25 for a cat wig for your dog. I am not kidding. I'm just like, somebody really thought this was a good idea. How about this one? Puff and fluff your dog fan. Put this on your dog after you wash your dog, and air blows your dog dry. What I would see, I would pay money to see, is you put that on your dog. I would pay money to see that. I mean, I'd get popcorn and sit back and like, go for it, go for it. And this is the absolute worst one. The potty putter. While you're sitting on the stool, you can practice your putting right there in front of the stool. I got a little blocked out there. I don't want to show anything more than should. But you know, if this is how you're practicing your putting, that's why you play so bad. Okay? I mean, somebody thought this was a great idea. They came up with a prototype, and they put this thing out there. And every one of those three things you can get at Amazon this afternoon. I'm not kidding. You can. I guess my idea is that, you know, they really thought these were good ideas. But they're not. They're really bad ideas. We do that all the time. We come up with these ideas that are just not very good. The problem with our understanding is that it's our understanding and not God's. Because we think we understand. We think we know. But actually, it's God that knows. You see, we are limited, but God is unlimited. I remember once we went on a vacation. This was a couple years ago, and we went to Portugal. And we were up on this really tall cliff face overlooking the ocean. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I mean, a straight cliff face. And then they built a glass walkway out. So you're hanging out over the cliff. Linda didn't want to do that. She didn't want to do that. Now, I don't know if she didn't want to do it or she didn't want to do it with me because I weigh so much. But I'm out there looking at this, and our grandson was with us, and he's like, "Hey, Papa, look at that one. That one's cracked." Sometimes we don't have a good idea, and sometimes we've got to pick who we trust and what we trust. Let me share with you the Hebrew word for trust. It's betach. Say betach. Betach. It's the Hebrew word. It actually means to stretch out, to lie face down before God. It represents how a servant would lay straight down on the ground, facing their master with their hands out. It's a total act of servitude. It's the servants surrendering their will to the master, saying, "Master, whatever you want, I am your servant. Just tell me." That's what the word trust means. And so it represents this idea that when we trust, we're surrendering to God our will. You see, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, "God, I trust you. I surrender my will, but I want it my way." Those are incompatible. You are or you aren't. You do or you don't. We may not understand all that happens. Many times we will not understand what is happening. But God does, and we are here to obey as a servant. So you need to trust God with all your heart. That's the first thing to remember here. Trusting God doesn't mean you always get what you want. Boy, if only that were true, wouldn't it? If we could just trust God and we just always get what we want, you know, we ask God, "God, give me this, give me that. Bless me this way, do this for me. God, I need you to do this." Trusting God doesn't mean we're going to get exactly what we want. See, when our kids were little, they would sometimes ask for things that were not good for them healthy-wise, or they were not good for them safety-wise. And so as a parent, we had to say no. We didn't like saying no. We want to bless our children. We want to do for our children. But sometimes they got in their mind that they wanted a certain thing or they wanted to do a certain thing. And we had to be the bad guy and sometimes just say, no, that's not going to happen. And did our children always understand? Oh, no. They thought we were just being horrible, cruel, mean. We were the mean parents. All their friends had nice parents, but he had, they have mean parents because you said no. Now, will they someday understand when they get older? Oh, probably. Will they remember it when they're older? No. They're just going to remember you said no. You know, God, sometimes we ask of God, petition God for things, and sometimes God looks down and sees a much broader perspective of our lives than what we do. He sees a much bigger concept of who we are and what we do. And God looks down and as much as we're asking and praying and begging, God says, no, I love you too much to do that. I see that there's a problem with this. So, no. But we don't like that. We don't like being told no. Just like our children, we don't like being told no. That we have to, we know more than they do, so we can tell our children no. God knows more than us, so sometimes his answer is no because he knows better. Trusting God means that no matter what happens, you believe. So God loves you and is working all things to the good. We don't always see that, though. You know, when we wanted to build a building, we were all excited. We picked out plans, you know. We paid a lot of money for plans to be drawn up, and we had the property, you know. We were all excited. We'd walk on the property. Some of you had, we had prayer walks through the property. There are many times I'd park my car over by the property. I'm just praying for the property and praying that God would use us in a big way. And we were all excited about doing that. And then the contractor says, "And you can have this 10,000 square foot building for $2.5 million. I'm like, well, let me see what I got. We couldn't afford that. That's what we wanted. That's what we prayed for. That was a heart's desire. But see, God's looking down and saying, oh, I've got something so better for you. No on this, but just wait. I've got a better idea. We see that now as we sit in this building. God had a better idea. Friends, it's true in your life as well. There are times that you're just sure you know what you want. You're sure you know you're talking to God. You're sure that God should answer this prayer this way. But God's saying, no, 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 there's a better way. I have a better plan. You just need to trust me and be patient because I know what's better. You question, you pray, you surrender. That's what David did. He questioned, how long, O Lord, he said in Psalm 13. He prayed, one thing I ask that you would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He questioned, he prayed, and he surrendered. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord God. He questioned, he prayed, he surrendered. Someone else followed that pattern on the cross. Jesus questioned, my God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He surrendered, and when he had said this, he breathed his last. But then 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and he had risen. You question, you pray, you surrender, you choose to trust God no matter what. Jesus did this. David did this. We can do this. You see, even when we don't understand the plan, we trust a God who has a purpose. So it isn't so much that we know the plan, but we know that it has a God who has a purpose. All the things that happen, happen for a purpose. One of my favorite readings, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs, we read that a little earlier. I don't know about you, but a straight path sounds so much better than the zigzag path we have in our lives. Come on and admit it. You had some zigzags in your life. You had some things that you thought were going really well and suddenly you took a right. And your life took a right, and you were going off course, you felt like you, and then suddenly it took a left again. And your life has been zigzagging like that. And maybe it's time to be able to let God put you on a straight path that he has in mind. Maybe the enemy, Satan, has been whispering in your ear like he had to my friend who shared with me. Maybe he's been whispering doubts in your ear. Lies, because he's the father of lies. Choose to believe. Even when you don't understand, you can trust God because he wants only what's good for you. Someone once wrote, God is too wise to be mistaken. He is too good to be unkind. And when you don't understand, you can't see his plan. When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord God. Do you? Father God, this world has so many temptations, so many distractions for our lives, so many things that get in the way of our growth and our following you and walking in faith. And Father, we pray this morning we can just set those aside. Come to understand that we can trust in you and we can believe in you. And we know that you want nothing but good for us. And so you care for us and you look out for us and you express your love to us all the time. We look around and we're so blessed. You've taken such care of us. And Father, we want to thank you for the great love that you've demonstrated in Jesus and in our everyday life. Father, we don't always appreciate or even recognize what we do. We don't even recognize sometimes the times we fail you. So, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Forgive us for our failure. Forgive us for turning our back on you, for ignoring the opportunities to worship, to ignoring the opportunities to pray, times we could have witnessed for you, but we instead remained silent. Forgive us, Father. Let today be the day that we are willing to stand bold. Father, the people that are here this morning who have never truly surrendered their life to you, they've believed, they've come to a shared faith, but they've never been obedient. They've never been buried in a watery grave of baptism. Somewhere along the line, somebody chose to sprinkle water on them or pour some water on them, but Father, that's not baptism, and that's not what your scriptures say. Baptism is to be immersed into Christ, to be buried in a watery grave, to rise up in the newness of life, to be born again. Father, I prayed for the people that are here that have never been obedient, who've never completed the plan of salvation, who never truly willing to submit their life into whatever you wanted them to do. Father, let today be a day they surrender. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.